This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Hello everybody, I'm Marty Eagle, and today I'll be reading you The Dragon Defenders, Book 1, a book by James Russell. Let's get into this, eh? Chapter 27. Having reached the safety of the edge of the clearing, Flynn and Paddy leapt off their horse and turned to see the awful sight of Big Red bearing down on the three men. "I think now might be a good time," said Paddy.
"I agree," replied Flynn.
Together, the boys ran back into the clearing. Paddy yelled at Big Red. Flynn whistled loudly and waved his hands above his head. It was enough to attract the attention of the dragon, which took one look at the brothers and changed course immediately. Now it was coming for them, intent on revenge. Flynn's whistles, meanwhile, had been heard by the lightning, whose true to his name came hurtling down from the sky like a bolt from a storm. The boys watched as lightning folded his wings against his body and dropped like a stone straight towards the dragon's head. The beast was completely unaware that this tiny, fierce bundle of feathers, beak and talon, was about to properly introduce himself. Just as Big Red ignited the ball of gas in his throat, lightning was upon him, landing on his snout and pecking widely at his face and eyes. As well as in a raging drag, the dragon, it also put him off the target, and his fireball hit the earth halfway between the boys and the men. The dragon twisted and turned, but was unable to get rid of himself, of the brave bird. The boys seized their chance. The men had completely given up hope, so the brothers had to run right out of them to get their attention. "This way!" yelled Paddy. Now all you be killed!" The three men looked up at the boys with amazement. Although they were terrified, they understood that the brothers was trying to save them. "Run!" yelled Finn. The men sprang into action, showing the way by the brothers. They were got to their feet and ran for their lives. Unfortunately for Scar, Scorpion, and Spike, they didn't quite make it deep enough into the forest before Big Red Boy's next fireball hit the ground. Actually, it was more unfortunate for their bottoms. Hot streaks of fire traced them through the trees, burning holes through their trousers and underpants, blistering the skin on their exposed behinds. All three howled in pain, but they were alive. They knew that the brothers had the brothers to thank for that. As expected, the experience of almost being killed by Big Red had frightened the men so much they weren't interested in fighting anymore. They lay among the trees, gasping in pain from the burns on their bums. Every time they heard Big Red's roar or his shadow fell over the forest, they twitched and whimpered in fright. "Get up, time to go," said Paddy. The men looked up to see the two boys smiling at them. Paddy had an arrow notched in his bow, and Flynn had a stone in the leather pocket of his slingshot. Coco growled softly. Said Flynn, "You have two choices. Either we leave you here right now, or you figure out how exactly to get home on your own. Or come with us, do exactly as we say, and you might stand a chance of escaping this island with your lives." Spike nodded furiously, hoping that his leader would agree. "Keep in mind that Big Red is up there and will have smelled your burning butts to know that you're hurt. He will keep hunting you until he catches you," added Paddy. Scar looked though he might cry at any moment. "So, what's it going to be?" said Flynn.
"All right,"
said Scorpion.
You win.
That was the first smart thing you've said since you got here, said Penny with a smile.
See you later. Peace out.
Once upon a time, there lived a poor man and a woman who had no children, and their only wish was to have a child. One evening, as they were sitting on the porch, they saw a falling star, and the woman said,
"Let's wish for a baby, no matter how small it would be."
7 months had passed, and their wish came true. A child no longer than a thumb was born. Because he was so little, they called him Tom Thumb and loved him with all their hearts. The boy became wise and nimble, but he never grew in size, so their parents were very careful that nothing would happen to him. One day, the boy said to his father,
"I am old enough to help with chores like all the other children do. Please, Father, let me lead the horse to where you are working. I may not be big enough to lead it by the reins, but I can sit in the horse's ear and give it directions."
His father agreed because he knew that his son was a clever boy and that he would manage to do the job. Tom Thumb sat in the horse's ear and kindly directed the horse, but as they were going through the woods, they met two strangers. The men wondered where the directions came from and went around the horse several times before they noticed the little boy sitting comfortably in the horse's ear.
"Good Lord!"
the strangers exclaimed, for they had never seen such a little boy before.
"Where are your parents?"
they asked the boy, and Tom Thumb pointed at his father, who was walking behind.
"Good day! We have great news for you, mister. We will give you as much money as you want if you will agree to sell us your boy. He will travel with us on exhibitions, and we will make a fortune out of him, for never has anyone seen such a small boy."
"My boy is not some jester, and he is not for sale," replied the man angrily.
But Tom Thumb jumped on his father's shoulder and whispered in his ear,
"Listen, Father, you are getting older, and you won't always be able to work as hard as you do now. But if you let me go with these two men and take the money which they offer you, you and Mother will finally live a good life. I promise that I will return soon."
The man would always listen to what his boy had to say, as he was a wise boy, and decided to let him go. Tom Thumb sat on the rim of one of the men's hats, and they left. When the men stopped for a while to have lunch, Tom Thumb slipped out of the hat and slipped into a mouse hole. The men tried to get him out of the hole by poking inside with their sticks, but all their efforts were useless because Tom Thumb had gone deep into the hole and they could only hear his voice.
"Go on your way without me, gentlemen."
As it was getting dark, the men had no choice but to continue without the boy. When he made sure that the men were gone, he crept out of the hole and started looking for a place to spend the night. As he was walking, Tom Thumb bumped into an empty snail shell and quickly went inside. He got ready to sleep when suddenly he heard voices.
"How are we going to rob the pastor's house exactly?"
Tom Thumb immediately understood that he had to deal with robbers and decided to save the pastor's house.
"Good evening, gentlemen,"
Tom Thumb greeted, but the men couldn't see him.
"Here, follow my voice and you will find me."
He guided the robbers.
"I can help you with the robbery because I am so little and I can go wherever I want."
At first, the men didn't believe their eyes, but the boy paid no attention to their state of shock.
"I will go into the house, and I will hand out things if you will only take me with you."
He finally convinced them, and they went to the pastor's house. The minute he found himself inside the house, Tom Thumb started making a whole lot of noises.
"Keep it quiet!"
The robbers hushed at him, but he pretended not to understand them.
"What do you want? Do you want everything?"
he yelled, thus making the robbery so obvious that he woke up one of the maids. She scared off the robbers, but didn't see Tom Thumb, so he finally got a good night's sleep in the hay. In the morning, Tom Thumb was awakened by a cow, which was calmly eating the hay that he was sleeping in. Before he could run away, the boy found himself in the cow's stomach.
Help! Help me! I am stuck inside the cow!
Tom Thumb started yelling, hoping that someone would hear him. It happened that the pastor was passing by, and when he heard the voice coming out of the cow's stomach, he thought that some evil spirit had enslaved the animal, and he killed the poor cow that same day. The cow's stomach was thrown into a pile of trash with Tom Thumb inside it, so he had to find his way out of the smelly pile. He was almost out when a hungry wolf came towards it and gulped the whole stomach.
Oh, heavens!
Cried Tom Thumb, but he didn't lose hope. On the contrary, he decided to make the wolf bring him home.
I know a house not far from here, which is full of bacon and ham and all delicacies,
spoke he from inside the wolf's belly. The wolf, interested in the idea, followed Tom Thumb's directions, and soon they arrived. The boy guided the wolf to the kitchen where the beast started tearing a piece of ham. Tom Thumb's father heard the noise coming from the kitchen and took his axe. He told his wife,
I will chop him into small pieces with it.
But right before he did that, the man heard a voice from inside the wolf.
Father, I am in the wolf's stomach, so be careful not to kill me.
His father killed the wolf and then cut him open to get Tom Thumb out of it.
My dearest boy, I promise never to sell you again, not for all the riches in the world.
They gave him food, drink, and new clothes, and lived happily ever after together.
Many years ago, the brave armies of Greece and Troy were locked in a long, bitter war. The Trojans had captured a beautiful Greek princess named Helen and held her within their fortress city of Troy. It did not seem possible that any man could break into the fortress city of Troy. For days, weeks, months, the Greek soldiers from their camp on a beach near the city assaulted the walls of Troy, but they were always beaten back. Then Ulysses, a great leader of the Greeks, said to his men, I have a plan. It is dangerous, but if it works, the Trojans themselves will take us through the gates of their city. At the order of Ulysses, the Greek soldiers set to work cutting down huge trees, making the wood into planks. From the towers of Troy, the Trojan soldiers watched a big building grow taller and taller day by day until it was 6 stories high. And when the Greeks pulled away all the work ladders and scaffolds, there stood a huge wooden horse, 80 feet tall. Along the towering walls of Troy, the soldiers and the people gathered to look out across the plain at the great wooden horse. They wondered what it was for, what it meant. The Trojans did not know that Ulysses and 5 Greek soldiers lay hidden in a dark, secret passage inside the wooden horse. All through the night, fire blazed brightly on the beach. The Greeks were burning their tents just as if they were giving up their camp and sailing back home. When morning came, not a Greek ship or soldier remained. But where they had camped stood the great Trojan horse. The Trojan people poured out of the city to the beach so they could look more closely at the strange wooden animal. They thought it would make a great monument to their victory over the Greeks. The Princess Cassandra, daughter of the King of the Trojans, warned her people of this Greek gift, but no one would listen.
the Trojans decided to pull the great horse inside the walls, into the city of Troy itself. The Trojans tied thick ropes around the legs of the huge wooden horse. Hundreds of men took a hand at the ropes. Others lined up behind the horse. Whooping and hollering, laughing at the Greeks who had never been able to scale the towering walls of Troy, the Trojans tugged and pushed and pulled the huge wooden horse slowly from the beach, over the plains, and through the gates of Troy. In the dark, secret passage of the wooden horse, Ulysses and the five soldiers lay quietly waiting. They could feel the horse being moved. What the Trojans had decided to do, neither Ulysses nor his soldiers knew. Suddenly, after a whole day and half a night, the Trojan horse moved no more. An hour passed. Still the horse did not move. Ulysses gave a signal. The soldiers felt their way silently down the dark, secret passage, following Ulysses. Cautiously, he opened the trapdoor. Just as he hoped, the Trojans had brought the horse inside the walls of Troy. The city was sleeping now, and the walls were unguarded. Ulysses drew his sword. He ordered the soldiers to follow, and he dashed for the main gates of the city. The Greek soldiers quickly tied the sleeping Trojan guards, while Ulysses scampered up the sentry tower. Holding a torch high above his head, he signaled to the Greek army, which had turned around and sailed back to the beach during the night. And even as Ulysses and his men opened the gates of Troy, the Greek army was marching across the plain. Caught completely by surprise, the Trojans were easily defeated by the Greek soldiers, who found their beautiful princess and took her back safely to Greece. And brave Ulysses was named the greatest of the Greek heroes.
Time ago when the earth was green, and there was more kinds of animals than you'd ever seen. They'd run around free while the earth was being born, but the loveliest of them all was the unicorn. There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, the loveliest of all was the unicorn. Now God seen some sinning, and it gave him pain. And he says, stand back, I'm going to make it rain. He says, hey, brother Noah, I'll tell you what to do. Build me a floating zoo, and take some of them
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget my unicorn.
Old Noel was there to answer the call. He finished up making the ark just as the rain started falling. He marched in the animals two by two, and he called out as they went through, "Hey Lord, I got you
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn."
Then Noah looked out through the driving rain. Them unicorns were hiding, playing silly games, kicking and splashing while the rain was pouring. Oh, them silly unicorns.
It was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees.
Noah cried, "Close the door, 'cause the rain is pouring, and we just can't wait for no unicorn." The ark started moving, it drifted with the tides. Them unicorns looked up from the rocks and they cried, and the waters came down and sort of floated them away. And that's why you never seen a unicorn till this very day. You'll see
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you're never going to see no unicorn.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.